League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Cutforth, and special guest, the fifth Sci Guy, Noah Finn.
Hey! Hello!
This week, we're talking about intoxicant imbibition-induced inebriation, including its indicators: insubordination, inhibition, impoverishment, intellectual ineptitude, insomnia, incontinence. Basically, boozy biology.
Ooh.
How many long words have you got to say in this episode?
Oh my God, I can't believe I managed to do that all in one.
I don't know if you pronounced them all correctly.
I did it really good. I struggled to do this when I was writing it.
Okay.
And I did it the best I've ever
did
done it this time.
Did you write it drunk too?
But first, we have a wee review. This one says, I can't stop listening. This podcast is the perfect mix of science, humor, philosophy, and social awareness. It's just what I've been looking for and really rekindled yummy love of learning.
You always have a choice. You can stop.
Yummy love.
You can stop if you really need to.
And the question for this week is, if you're listening, then head over to the YouTube comments, get down there and answer this and answer the question. The question is, have you ever been drunk before?
Oh my, yes I have.
Nope.
Really?
No. First time ever.
Yeah, Noah's straight edge. Did you not know that? So,
yeah.
Let me do the little intro that I do to these episodes. I would be reading it off the screen, but I just wrote the words, wing it, comma, bro, ellipsis. And that is what I'm doing. So, as you can see from the title of this episode, Happy New Year, by the way. As you can see from the title of this episode, this is the science of alcohol, or the science of being drunk, or the science of something to do with one of those things. And so we are drinking for this episode. I thought it'd be a good idea. Now I'm very much regretting it. Woo! Everyone say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year!
So, my friends, my dear children, what is alcohol?
Alcohol is a fermented thingy.
A poison.
You are more correct.
You get some stuff and you ferment it. And then it plays up with your stuff.
an intoxicant that's poisonous.
And a depressant.
And it makes you sad sometimes if you're sad.
A depressant.
So, the World Health Organization says...
Who?
So good. Woo! Woo!
Woo! The World Health Organization says that alcohol is a psychoactive substance with dependence-producing properties that has been widely used in many cultures for centuries. The harmful use of alcohol causes a high burden of disease and has significant social and economic consequences.
Yep.
However, I don't think However, I don't think that this definition of alcohol is all that correct. Do you know why, maybe?
Because alcohol rocks should be the definition.
Whoa. No. Please drink responsibly and only above the legal age of drinking in your country.
If Corey comes to you and he tells you you need to be drunk for this episode of the podcast, you can always say no.
They didn't.
Well, I just find it an interesting definition because it leads very heavily, very early, around the with a high risk of, like, that's not what it is. That is a property of it in relation to humans.
It's the World Health Organization, so their definition is necessarily going to be geared towards their scope.
I understand that.
The issue I take with it more is that it is not talking about alcohol. It is talking about a specific alcohol.
Ethanol?
Yes.
Okay.
But you made me feel much less smart. I was building to something.
Ethanol.
From Britannica, it says alcohol, any of a class of organic compounds characterized by one or more hydroxyl, that's OH groups, attached to a carbon atom of an alkyl group, hydrocarbon chain. Alcohols may be considered as organic derivatives of water, H2O, in which one of the hydrogen atoms has been replaced by an alkyl group, typically represented by R in organic structures. For example, in ethanol or ethyl alcohol, the alkyl group is the ethyl group, CH2CH3. Let me explain what that means for you both, unless you can tell me what it means.
No, you know what? I did chemistry GCSE. I didn't do good at it.
It has carbon and hydrogen and oxygen.
Okay.
And what makes an alcohol is this OH group, right? So, and the, what it's saying, what it says that it could
that's
be...
That's right, it's got a double bond between O and an H.
Well,
oh.
No, you literally cannot. You can't have a double bond between O and an H because hydrogens can only make single bonds. What it's saying is that when it says that it could be considered a derivative of water, an organic derivative of water, organic in chemistry means carbon, essentially, right? Okay. If you hear organic in chemistry, it's got carbon in it. And when it says it's derivative of water, you take water, take away one of those hydrogen atoms because it's H2O. Yeah. It's two hydrogens and an oxygen. You knock off one of those hydrogen atoms and you just stitch your water molecule on to like a carbon chain that's got a bunch of carbons with a bunch of hydrogens connected. Boom, that's an alcohol. So what that means, is that the alcohol that we talk about, ethanol, is not the only alcohol out there. There's methanol. There's many others.
So hang on.
So far we have two.
So hang on a sec. So if when you say, you know, you take, so as far as I've understood it here, you take an H2O molecule, right? Mm-hmm. And you knock off one of your H's.
Yeah.
And then you can just attach anything. It doesn't matter how massive it is. You can attach something.
Not just anything, but...
But you can attach a bunch of stuff and it can be much bigger in size than the original now OH combination. Mm-hmm. And you call that an organic... You call that a derivative of water?
You know, you can consider it a derivative of water.
Yeah, I don't understand how it's a derivative of water when water doesn't have carbon in it, does it?
Because you're taking off...
Because it's the... Because you're taking, off...
If you have to take it off... Okay, sure.
Because it's a derivative of water because you're taking off the hydrogen and then adding in an alcohol group.
But is that how it's made?
Is that what a derivative...
Does it start with water, some process kicks off one bit of hydrogen and then just chucks on and attaches... some massive thing, and if it, even if it turns out to be like 50,000 times bigger, like if it's like 50,000 atoms and then you've got one OH, you still call that a derivative of water? That just feels
weird.
Surely anything is a derivative of anything if you take something off it and add something to it.
If I grab Noah and I chop off one of his arms and then on his arm I attach
alcohol,
the Empire State Building, and then I'm like, this new thing is a derivative of Noah.
Boys.
Yeah.
Remember when I said we had to be good?
No.
No.
I did. I said you had to behave.
I think that when you said we had to be good, that was somewhat, balanced out by the fact that you gave us two shots of vodka before we started recording.
I gave you two doubles.
Okay, well.
I did tell you that after you had the first one.
I don't remember being told to behave.
I told you. Okay.
I remember my role being look pretty and interrupt.
You made that up.
You know when there's that phrase, there are no bad students, questions, only bad teachers.
Yeah.
I think suck. When you invite Noah on the podcast, you cannot
that
combine
phrase goes
that
in the bin. You guys are bad.
You can't
students
combine that with the notion of behaving. That's just incompatible.
Can you believe I never got in trouble?
What?
At
I
school.
Never had
he means
detention
at school. He means at school.
Oh, I never had detention at school. Other
but
than
I was
when
like
the
this.
I had
I was
had
like this.
I had a detention at school. Do you know, I had a couple. Do you know what one of them was for?
What?
Because you were too good.
Instead of going to the lunch hall, I went to the shop and got a pot noodle. And me and my friends, we all got detention. Hello, Gregory. I know you don't watch this, but I know that you know that we got detention.
You absolute bad boy.
Another time I got detention for writing my name outside the head teacher's window in snow and ice. And it melted away by the time my detention was finished.
That's so dumb.
I'm a bad boy.
That's really dumb. I would just like to take this moment to apologize to the listeners for what they're listening to.
We're
having a great time.
And so are they.
It might be incoherent as hell.
It's incredibly coherent because I've edited it. And I've edited it beautifully.
You gotta leave in the good parts.
Oh, that's all good parts. So, no, what I'm saying here is that essentially an alcohol is you take this sort of carbon chain with some, like, hydrogens on it, and you attach an OH group.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, that's an alcohol. So you can have ethanol. That's like a short chain alcohol. Mm-hmm. Then you can have also methanol and then many other Nolls.
Mm-hmm.
Fielding.
Hexanol.
Nol. Nol Fielding.
Octanol. Let me just
Octagonal.
Check. No.
That's an alcohol. 18 plus only.
You
eight.
Can have octanol.
Look, eight plus.
Look, alcohol. All I'm trying to get across here, it shouldn't have taken this long. All I'm trying to get across here is that when we say alcohol, mm-hmm. that's not referring to one specific chemical.
No.
It's a class of chemicals.
Yes.
However,
there's lots of carbon and then an oh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the type of alcohol we usually talk about, the one that we find in our drinks of alcohol, is ethanol or ethyl alcohol. Methanol is bad for you. That's why, so if you're making your own moonshine or you're trying to make your own alcohol and you do it bad.
Here are the instructions.
No. If you do it wrong, the instructions for making alcohol is get some fruit and leave it.
You know what? Because I went to boarding school and people would steal my stuff out of the fridge if I brought food, I brought apple juice and I would just leave it in my bedroom, and in the summer it'll go alcoholic real quick. So I just had to drink like 2 pints of apple juice very quickly.
So you didn't get alcoholic?
You didn't do that on purpose?
I didn't do it on purpose, but I was really scared when my house mistress came round because it smelled of alcohol. I was like, no, but miss, I swear, it's Prince's apple juice.
Miss, I accidentally left my apple juice. You're such a baby. Anyway. Ethyl alcohol or ethanol is the alcohol we're usually talking about. That's got two carbons, six hydrogens,
DOS,
and an oxygen.
Six.
It could be written as CH3,
Ox.
CH2, Ox. OH. That means that you've got the two carbons, they're bonded to each other.
Right.
Ooh, cute.
One of the carbons is bonded to three hydrogens.
Okay.
The other carbon is bonded to two hydrogens and that OH group.
Whole friend group.
Right? Now, that is ethanol or ethyl alcohol. From now on, when I say alcohol, that's the alcohol I'm talking about. But it's important to remember that alcohol is a whole class of chemicals. And things like methanol, which I was saying earlier, if you make moonshine wrong, if you try and make alcohol and you do a bad job, you can accidentally make some methanol. Drink enough of that, you're blind.
When you make, even if you successfully make ethanol, just is a little bit of it methanol.
Luke?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm drunk.
Okay.
I think if you do it right, the methanol concentration is so low, perhaps reaching towards zero, that it's fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm drunk.
Hey, Corey.
Yes?
Why, when some people are drunk, do some people get angry and some people get horny?
I know the answer to this, and you will find
it out
later.
Is that later? Cool.
Which one are you? Do I need to be worried?
Not the first one. No, I'm not going to punch you. I'm going to spank you.
So as I said, from here on out, when I say alcohol, I am talking about
ethanol. Yes.
So alcohol is a clear liquid at room temperature. It is less dense.
Hell yeah, it is.
What if you put Coca-Cola in it? Is it clear?
No. It's not no longer just alcohol, is it? You bloody idiots.
If you put Coca-Cola in alcohol, yes, the alcohol is still clear. The Coca-Cola isn't. Are you happy now?
I understand.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining.
Alcohol is less dense and evaporates at a lower temperature than water.
Yeah, that's why it cleans CDs really well.
Yeah, so that's why, like, do you know when you put an alcohol rub on your skin and you feel cold?
No.
Your hand feels cold.
I thought that's just because the liquid was cold.
It's because it evaporates.
Oh.
It takes the heat from
I do know that as well, but I didn't combine the two.
It's okay. It's fine. And also, that's how distilling works. So distilling is how we make alcohol stronger. So that's how we take a less strong alcohol and we make whiskey.
Why were they teaching us that in chemistry class?
They
14
did.
Years old? They're
they
like, you want to... I'm saying, why did they?
Because distillation is a very important process.
More strong.
What if you want to work in the beer industry?
It's more the beer industry,
the
you
beer
want to distill
industry.
A beer. What? It's spirits you distill.
What if you want to work in the whiskey industry?
I've never felt that.
So distillation is an important chemical process for numerous different things.
Right.
Yes, it's very good for alcohol. So distillation, it's for to explain that, the way that it works is because one of the chemicals has a lower boiling point than the other,
mm-hmm.
you can...
Oh, like in when you're making oil. Fractional distillation.
Yeah. I don't remember enough, so I'm just going to continue with my explanation. What it means is that you can like heat up both of them, and one of them will then condense back into a liquid at a different temperature mm-hmm. than the other.
Yeah.
So you can make some... You could like
separate
dissolve
stuff.
Something in water and then like separate it out.
Yeah.
So there's less water.
Brilliant.
Right.
Brilliant.
Using the different boiling points.
Okay.
I've explained this very well, and if you want to understand it even better, you can Google it and find a slightly less better explanation that might help you understand.
Or you
anyway,
can do
moving
your GCSEs.
On. Moving on. Alcohol dissolves easily in water, and so you've never had...
Dissolves.
You have never... Yeah, it dissolves. Dissolving is when all... So, okay, so this is water.
Hello.
My fingers is water.
Yeah.
But you're doing a podcast where half the people can't see you.
His fingers is water.
Can I just... Luke, you always... Hold on. We're stopping the podcast, Luke. This is a little bit of grievance here.
Yeah.
Every single time I do a visual demonstration,
yeah.
you cut me off
yeah.
and tell me this is an audio podcast.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm just
you've
checking.
Not given me a chance
I'm
to explain
checking.
To the listeners
okay.
what they're supposed to be visualizing in their heads.
Okay.
And actually... I think that if you do it one more time,
like,
I might snap and break Noah.
Dear God, it's like,
well, see, it's always...
Is this on pod or is it off
why,
pod?
This
why
is on
is this,
pod.
But why does this turn into
this
violence
this is
against
an
Noah?
Ultimatum.
Okay. I'm just thinking of the listeners.
Stop it.
That's my point.
So my fingies on my left hand
okay.
is water, and my fingers on my right hand is alcohol.
Are they interlocking?
And they're
Whoa.
Now interlocking. If you're listening... Luke, if you're listening, what's happened is I've interlocked my two hands. Dissolving is when one is basically when one like chemical
uh-huh.
hides in the spaces between another.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. yeah.
So when you dissolve alcohol in water,
like
what happens
those
is
fish
the alcohol
where one of them pretends to be a woman.
Seahorses?
That happens, isn't it?
That's not seahorses, but it is
I
yes,
know.
There are some fish that
transvestites.
Guys. I very much need for you to not get me so off track that I'm explaining things like fish and their different mating properties. Yes, there are some fish where there are two different kinds of males, where there's a big, strong male and there's another male that pretends to be a woman, and that male manages to sneak in to the other male's group of women and then it has sex with all of the little women fish so
that
it can
film.
Spread
That's
its genes.
That's what the Emma Watson movie is about.
I was going to say Florence Pugh.
Why
good
would you... You're referencing a joke we made off pod.
No, I'm just referencing the film Little Women.
Oh, Little Women.
That's
Emma's,
what that's
Emma
about,
Timothy
isn't it?
Chalamet also.
It's where,
and
it's
Florence
where,
Pugh.
I already said Florence
it's
Pugh
where
if
Timothy
listening.
Chalamet hides amongst a bunch of little women.
Sorry, I can't swear.
Noah!
He fricks them all. He has a frick with them.
So... Moving back to alcohol, it dissolves easily in water, and that's why... So if you take vodka, for example...
Oh, yeah, go on.
Vodka...
Yeah, go on, give me some.
Vodka is not all alcohol. There's some water. There's a lot of water in there, too. And that's why all of the alcohols you've got, it's very good. And we like when things are dissolved in water, because we are water, and a lot of our body's systems is water. So if something can dissolve in water, it means our body can take it in real
yeah.
good. And also, if something dissolves in water... It's really good because water's everywhere. If you want it and you want to dilute it, you just chuck it in some water. Boom, there you go.
You ever seen water in the Sahara Desert?
Yeah, there's no water on Mars, man.
Yeah. You're spreading misinformation on this podcast. It's supposed to be informational.
Alcohol is also flammable and it can be used as a fuel. And I'll remind the both of you that I have a lighter on me and also a lot of alcohol.
Can I
you
see
threatening
it?
To set us on fire?
I'm not threatening
house.
Anything. Why don't we talk about measuring alcohol? Does anyone know what ABV means?
Big
alcohol
vagina.
Vodka.
Whoa, bloody hell.
Whoa, why are you going to make it sexual for the viewers?
Vaginas aren't inherently sexual.
Yeah. What are they for? What are they for? Hmm?
What is babies?
Babies.
How do you have baby, dumbass?
Artificial insemination.
Yeah, God.
In a sexual area.
Whoa, why are you going to make it sexual?
Whoa.
Look.
So, ABV actually stands for alcohol by volume, and it's a measure of the amount of pure alcohol as a percentage of the total volume of liquid in a drink. That means that, so this is vodka. Vodka.
Yeah. I was going to look at the ABV.
I don't need you to look at it. It's 40.
There's no ABV.
Stop
on this.
It. This is zero.
Yep.
Because this is water. This is zero ABV. This is vodka. This is 40% alcohol, or it's actually 38% alcohol. Ooh. Most
Yet
spirits.
More fake news.
Most spirits, so your vodkas, your gins, your whiskeys, your liquors, if you're an American, they are roughly about 40%. Your beers are about 5% alcohol. Your wines are roughly between 8 to like sort of 15% alcohol.
So
generally about 11-ish.
I feel like when I have wine, I feel drunk quite quick. Even though it's
because
less.
It's higher, it's more than it's usually
it's
more
than
double
beer.
Percent the alcohol of beer.
Yeah, but I don't drink beer.
But you drink
drink cider, which is roughly the same as beer.
Okay.
I think when you have a double shot in a drink, in your standard sized drink, that's roughly about 5% because you've got the 40% alcohol of the spirit, and then you add in your mixer. Usually that roughs out at like about the same as a beer, as far as I'm aware.
If you were to drink wine quickly, versus drinking beer. Sort of at the same speed per unit alcohol, would you get more drunk because you've drunk it faster? Like, does it
you've said
scale
something
linear?
Very confusing.
Yeah,
so you
have
said if you drink wine quickly. So I'm going to take your question. I'm going to rephrase it to be more correct.
Okay.
Why am I being so rude? So what I assume you are asking is if you drink beer and wine at the same unit of alcohol per second.
Yeah.
So you're drinking the wine way more slowly than you're drinking the beer, will you get drunk at the same rate? The answer is probably no, because carbonation, as in bubbles in your drink, change the rate at which you get drunk. We'll get into that in a little bit.
What? Go so on. What? What?
There's so
that's
much
why
to
you
come.
Get more drunk from bubbles. Bubbles make you more drunk.
They make you more drunk.
Bubbles
How?
Make you more drunk.
You know you also get more drunk there. If you drink... So say you have a gin and tonic, and you have a gin and tonic that's
I would
like,
never do that.
What, a gin and tonic? Gin and tonic's lovely.
He likes pink gin. He just doesn't really... He doesn't like tonic, gin and
I
tonic.
I hate tonic.
You
Sorry,
like pink
go on,
gin
it's
and
irrelevant.
Tonic.
Okay, I promise you don't, but...
Okay.
Okay, so when you have a gin and tonic, if you have a gin and tonic that's a diet tonic, you get drunk faster because your body doesn't have anything to metabolize.
Because there's no sugar.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but we're going to trust Luke.
Yeah, it's true.
So much.
What else is true, Luke?
I don't know. Ask Corey. He's the one with the research.
Capitalism is bad.
That's true. Yeah, I think so.
So ABV is alcohol by volume. Not a big vagina, Noah.
That was not my... That's what you said.
You said a big and I said vagina. I merely finished off your thought.
Big, what did I... I said...
Vuvuzela.
I said a big vodka.
Bad. Anyway, ABV is a measure... I've said this already. It's a measure of amount of pure alcohol and a total volume of liquid in a drink. So, obviously, the ABV will change if, say, you've got some Coke, like Luca's got here,
Coca-Cola.
And some vodka. If you pour... If I've got vodka here and I pour all of my vodka into this drink, the ABV is going to change.
Yeah.
Because the ABV is... of the total liquid in the drink. So if you add another liquid, the ABV is going to change. It's just percentage, right? It's just percentage. So beers are around 5%, like I said. Wines are around, I think, 8 to 15. Usually they sit around about 11. Spirits are around 40%, but they can be like 38% up to like 95%. You know, there are some beers that are higher than that. So if you go to, say, Brewdog have got like the highest percentage beer in the world, or... It may not be the highest percentage beer in the world anymore, but it was like Nuclear Penguin or something. So, you know, you can... Yeah, you're supposed to drink little bits of
it. What was the percentage, do you know?
Oh, it was very, very high.
I started liking beer recently because I drank a 13% beer and it tasted like chocolate. And I like beer. Overnight, I was like, oh, I like beer now.
I personally need to and enjoy drinking higher percent drinks because, unfortunately... I have a high tolerance to alcohol, which means I need to spend a lot of money if I want to get drunk. Noah and I, when we go out, what I do is I get us a double and then a single shot on its own, and I pour the single shot into the double shot and mixer.
Hey, no, I thought you get two shots. I thought we start off with four shots.
No, we start off with triples. I tried right. I tried quadruples, but it tastes too bad.
I think we should lobby the government to subsidize your extra shot because it's not your fault. You're tall.
I agree.
What's and my not- excuse?
Your family are alcoholics.
No, you get loads of...
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
He's ringing again. Why is he ringing this time, Corey?
He's ringing for After Dark Loop.
Why have we gendered our ad bell, Corey?
Because he's a boy and I want to respect him just like I respect After Dark, our sister show to this podcast, Sci Guys. After Dark is what happens after Sci Guys ends. We just chat about whatever we want to chat about.
If you've ever been listening to Sci Guys and gone, God, I wish there were less facts, then you can listen to After Dark. I wish there were more opinions in this show.
More philosophy and politics.
Yes, After Dark is the show where Corey and I sit down, and maybe with a guest sometimes, sit down and discuss just more sort of floaty, woo-woo-y ideas about things we think with our brains.
And where can they watch this wonderful, wonderful show, Luke?
Well, they can listen to it and watch it at patreon.com/ Sci Guys, our Patreon, where you can also support us and help us keep doing this thing that you apparently like us doing.
Did you say patreon.com/Sci Guys?
Yes, I think I did. I think I did say patreon.com/Sci Guys.
Well, if you want to listen to After Dark, it seems like you should get to patreon.com/Sci Guys.
That's patreon.com/Sci Guys, in case you weren't paying attention.
Now pay attention, because we're about to start the show.
Oh, my attention has been paid and will continue to be paid until the end, when I go home.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So, alcohol by volume is one way of measuring alcohol. It's very simple. It's a percentage. We've spoken about it a little bit. Let's go on to units. So units, I find really difficult. I don't understand units as much. The idea about units is that it expresses the quantity of pure alcohol in a drink. So one unit is equal to 10 milliliters or 8 grams of pure alcohol, which is around the amount of alcohol the average adult can process in an hour. So that means if you have one unit of alcohol and you're an average adult, you're very mid.
In 1 hour, you will be fine.
1 hour is gone.
It's gone.
It's out of your body. Also, a pint, a strong lager, apparently, according to the NHS, contains 3 units of alcohol, whereas the same volume of a lower strength lager has just over 2 units. And would you like to know a fun game?
Yes, please, a game.
It's not a game, it's maths. I tricked you. You can work out how many units of alcohol there are in any drink. I'm just reading this verbatim from the NHS.
By dipping your finger in and smelling it?
True, if you're very smart, but instead, if you are so stupid and have to use maths instead, you can, in fact, work it out by multiplying the total volume of a drink in milliliters by the ABV, which is a percentage, and
so
then divide it by
a
1,000.
And it's 5%. That's 50, and divide it by 1,000. That's 0.05.
So you take
units.
If you've got a liter, and it's 5%, that's 1,000 multiplied by 5, divided by 1,000.
Oh, okay. So it's five units. It's 5 units.
Maybe. Hold on. Let me look at these examples that have been given.
It's 5 units.
So it's strength, ABV, multiplied by volume, mils. Yeah, yeah.
It's 5 units.
It's 5 units.
How many units?
5.
Congratulations.
Yes. So for example, if you have a 5.2% ABV beer that is a pint, which is about 568 milliliters, and you divide it by 1,000, that is 2.95 units.
Congratulations. You can't drive anymore.
That's very true. Unless you're
in
Scotland, in which case
in
you couldn't
place.
Drive the minute that you took a sip of drink, because we're very safe.
I find this really interesting thing about the breathalyzer thing is if you get pulled over for breathalyzing, they can like find you over the limit, and that's not legally binding. They have to take you to the station and they have to wait 20 minutes and then they can breathalyze you. And only then is it legally binding.
Interesting.
Oh, well, then you're good to... No, don't drink drive.
No, don't drink drive.
How do you make alcohol?
You get fruit, and then you leave it.
Could it work with vegetables?
I'm leaving you.
Could you do it with potatoes?
That's a vegetable.
That's
so it
vodka.
Doesn't have to be fruit.
Yeah, it's vodka.
It doesn't
vodka's
have to be
made
fruit.
Of potatoes.
Vodka's yeah. made of potatoes.
What? Yeah. Where does it say that?
Well,
I have not been informed.
It doesn't. Okay, go on. Right. Go on. Tell
so
us
you
more.
Get some kind of organic matter. I don't know how broad the organic matter can be. And then you sort of just like leave it to ferment, maybe with some sugar, sometimes with some yeast, that kind of thing. And then it turns into alcohol. Not always with yeast. That's for beer.
No. So, I mean, yeast is very good for fermenting. So yeast will ferment. Fermenting is essentially anaerobic, meaning without oxygen. It's like... Basically, it's when like some microorganisms break things down without any oxygen about.
Yeah.
They'll ferment it and they'll make alcohol. So yeast does this real good. And that's why we make wine and beer from yeast. Because you take yeast, which is like a little fungus, and you chuck it in some stuff. Usually you can actually find it on the outside of grapes already. That's how we kind of accidentally discovered it.
Oh yes, so that's why
it already exists.
That's why
there.
Fruit and vegetables sometimes ferment is because they actually already have a little bit of yeast. Because like
yeast is all around you all the
time. There's yeast over
but
here.
But the thing is that when we ferment stuff, when we make drinks and breads and whatnot. We have specific strains of yeast.
Yeah.
And I did this for my degree. We have specific strains of yeast for specific things. Because the bread yeast is not going to be... If you take bread yeast and you try to make beer with it, it's not going to be as good.
That's so silly of you. Why would you do that?
No, but like, so basically yeast, what it does is it makes carbon dioxide.
Oh.
Shush. I did a little spit. So yeast, what it does is it makes carbon dioxide and it makes alcohol. So carbon dioxide is what makes the bread puff up. And when you're making bread, the yeast also makes alcohol, but it gets boiled away.
Your yeast
from
flakes.
The heat of the cooking the bread.
When you're making alcohol,
it ferments. It makes carbon dioxide and also alcohol, and that's why you get bubbles in alcohol.
Yes,
your vegan yeast flakes.
Yes, they're really good.
Could
I
we
love
turn
those.
That into alcohol? Could we just
no? So no. Nutritional yeast flakes,
right?
Noah's calling them vegan yeast flakes because nutritional yeast is yeast. That has been grown to have like protein in it and then it's like dried out and stuff and it's basically dead. And then you eat it and you get lots of protein from it. But that's different from like baker's yeast or brewer's yeast, which we do have baker's yeast at home. So if we wanted to make alcohol, all we would need to do is get some grapes or some honey. If we wanted to make mead, we'd make
we've
honey.
We've already got mead.
If we wanted to make wine, we'd use grapes. If you want to make cider, we'd use apples. If you wanted to make vodka, we'd use potatoes.
What can I make out of strawberries?
You could probably make a strawberry brandy, I suppose. Ooh. But basically, alcohol is formed by fermentation, which is like you take it's anaerobic breakdown. So without oxygen, breakdown by like microorganisms of like certain sugars.
Yeah,
and if they break down sugars and they make alcohol in water. It's very good.
And some birds specifically seek out rotting fruit, and then they get pissed.
And yes, so
elephants do this too.
Elephants
do this too. Now, this is interesting. We'll get to it in a bit because it's actually interesting with our like evolution how alcohol is involved in that. So we can. That's not the only way you can make alcohol. You could chemical modification of fossil fuels like oil, natural gas, or coal makes industrial alcohol. And if you chemically combine hydrogen with carbon monoxide, you can make methanol or wood alcohol. Why don't we now talk about the effects of alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't need to talk about it. We're experiencing it
no.
right now.
Well, that's very good. So let's talk about it.
So it makes you silly, makes you funny, makes you drunk, makes you need to pee real bad.
Wobbly.
Wobbly. Mm. Wobbly, that's a good word.
But let's be more science
okay. fiction.
It slows down the central nervous system.
My inhibitions.
Stop. Let's be more... scientific.
Okay.
Intoxicant.
Specific.
Yeah, that was quite specific, actually.
I said, let's be more scientific and specific, and you were both interrupting me.
That's not
That's not what
you can
requested.
Interrupt with not specific. With specific things.
Yeah, exactly.
And scientific things.
Don't make me.
E equals MC squared.
Don't make me.
0.14149 2654.
That's my dear boys, yeah. My dear friends, I think you're forgetting that I hold the ultimate power here.
No,
I got the buttons.
I can edit everything. Your buttons mean nothing. Your buttons help me.
Go on. Let's be more scientific and specific then, Corey.
When a
man and a woman love each other very much.
Okay, so
when a who?
About 20% of the alcohol that you drink is absorbed in your stomach.
That's a waste.
And 80% is absorbed in the small intestine.
Oh, okay.
That's why you gotta listen.
Okay, sorry.
Or you don't understand things.
You weren't even done with the maths yet.
I wasn't.
You weren't even done with it.
100% is absorbed then, so there's no wastage.
I mean, look, man, I don't know. Probably. Maybe it's probably some wastage. Jeez Louise.
Probably.
Specific. I thought you wanted to be specific.
Science, man.
Too specific. Rounding errors.
By 20%?
No, not by...
Significant figures.
You've not been listening.
I love to misinterpret things.
You've not been listening.
Hey, so Corey, so why does alcohol make you need to wee? I've peed and Luke needs to pee now.
I'll tell you later, because what I'm telling you right now...
Why don't you tell me now?
Because I had to scroll down my page to see it and I don't remember it. So... What I'm telling you now is that the biological sex of the drinker makes a difference. So what I'm going to tell you now is, like, basically, there are a number of different factors that influence how alcohol is absorbed by your body.
Is pronouns one of them?
Your pronouns is very important.
Am I pronouns one of them?
If your pronouns are they, them,
yeah,
you literally cannot absorb alcohol.
Whoa.
Think about it. When have you ever seen a drunk they, them?
Oh, so many times.
Never.
So all the time.
Never.
All, yeah, they get, yeah.
They've never been drunk.
Yeah, no, I definitely have.
Nah,
I've seen so many drunk they, them. So I've seen so many drunk them. No, so what it says here is that the biological sex of the drinker affects like how the alcohol is absorbed. I don't think that's necessarily true, because if we look into it more closely...
But is it, or is
it? Listen,
this...
no, what it actually says is that like when you compare men and women of the same height, weight, and build... Generally, men tend to have a higher muscle mass and a lower like fat percentage. So it's not actually the biological sex specifically. It's actually the muscle mass and fat percentage, it seems
so
to be.
You get a jacked lady and she can outdrink someone who is a man who is not as jacked.
That's sure, but what it's saying here is that but generally, when you have men and women of the same size, if it's the same height, weight, and build, the women still tend to have a higher fat percentage.
Oh, it's for the womb.
They got boobies.
Because they got not just that. They got boobies.
They have.
They got like a whole womb and stuff to protect. And most boys don't have a womb to protect.
That's true. Most boys
have less fat. But you're valid if you are a boy with a womb to protect and you protect it.
Thank you.
Because muscle tissue has more water than fat
tissue. Sorry, can you repeat
Corey,
that?
Can you speak in not a baby voice for a bit?
You said inhibition wrong in your first line as well. May I just say this?
Inhibition.
A bit late.
Expedition.
I was drunk, so
was
essentially the way that it works
little
is
voices,
the
little voices.
I'll speak however loud I want.
Please, little voices, I beg.
Okay, fine. So because. As I said, alcohol dissolves in water, and muscle tissue has more water than fat tissue. Because alcohol can't dissolve in fat tissue.
Yeah.
It means that if you've got more muscle tissue, you're more like there's more drunkenness.
I am screwed.
There's more places
there's
for
more
the alcohol to hide.
Less
so blood
wait,
alcohol.
Wait, no, I'm confused.
So the blood alcohol concentration. Resulting from that dose will be higher in a woman than in a man, and the woman will feel the effects of the dose of alcohol sooner than the man will. That's assuming that you're cisgender and also have the average.
So can I just check?
Let me finish this so that I can be woke.
What?
It's assuming that you're both cisgender and have the.
Well,
the,
you've assumed wrong.
The average sort of like you know like I guess fat and muscle distribution of you know your. Assigned gender or whatever. Look, I'm drunk, man.
Okay, so let me check if this is correct. So,
okay.
When you are a female person or assigned female at birth person,
I've never been that.
Okay,
A-fab-B.
If one were to be an A,
I am still fab. Continue.
If one were to be an AFAB person, assigned female at birth person, they on average have a higher fat percentage.
Yeah.
Fat doesn't have water, and alcohol dissolves in water.
Okay.
And if you are an assigned male at birth person, you may have a lower fat percentage on average and a higher muscle percentage on average. There is water in muscles, so the alcohol can dissolve in the water in your muscles, which means that you get drunk slightly less quickly. Is that correct?
Look, oh my God, you should be like hosting this podcast, except for one fatal woke mistake you made.
Right. What was my work mistake?
You said assigned female at birth and assigned male at birth, but Lucas David Cutforth?
Yes.
You simply forgot about HRT.
Hormone replacement therapy.
Hurt. Yeah, it's about okay. No, it's about body composition more than it is about so you're okay. You're spot on. No, let's be honest.
Okay.
You're spot on.
Yeah.
The only difference is that like it's not about being assigned male at birth and assigned female at birth. It's literally about your body composition.
Okay. So, amongst people who haven't had hormone replacement therapy, what I just said is a correct
if
understanding.
If we were to ignore all trans and intersex people, then sure.
Amongst people who haven't had hormone replacement therapy.
So you want to ignore
said,
all trans
oh,
and
My point is I have understood what you're saying correctly and I've recount what you said correctly.
He's asking then for clarification.
You can then expand that out if you have had hormone replacement therapy and that has caused your muscle percentage to increase or your average
fat
percentage.
I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just trying to be...
I'm just recounting so that people can understand and stay on the same page as us.
And I'm just recounting so that people can be woke.
as a transgender, I approve of this message.
So as I was saying, 20% of the alcohol is absorbed by your stomach, 80% is absorbed by your small intestine, and there's different factors that come into like how quickly it's absorbed. We've spoken about biological sex, but ultimately that really comes down to more the sort of body composition, like muscle and fat.
Can I check?
Yeah.
Does that actually come down to body composition and fat, or is that your opinion?
So I'm saying that it comes down to body composition and whatnot because the source that I'm using, it says that the biological sex of the drinker it affects how it's metabolized, but then it has another section that says when you compare men and women of the same height, weight and build, men tend to have more muscle and less fat than women. Because muscle tissue has more water than fat tissue, a given dose or amount of alcohol will be diluted more in a man than in a woman. Therefore, the blood alcohol concentration resulting from that dose will be higher in a woman than in a man, and the woman will feel the effects of the dose of alcohol sooner than the man will.
Cool.
So I can only assume
that
it's because of body composition.
So source that is true and it's not your opinion. Great.
I would never give I would never only give my opinion.
I was just trying to figure out if that was you going, but extrapolating from another thing I know this might be why, or
solely extrapolating from the information that was given.
But the information that was given backs you up. It is not an extrapolation.
Yeah. So also the concentration of alcohol in the drink is obviously going to affect, you know, how much the how quickly it's absorbed. The type of drink, as I said, if it's carbonated, if it's got bubbles.
You look like you're just reading this instead of presenting it to the camera.
I don't present it to the camera. I talk to you both.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't. Yeah. All
right.
Fifth side guy.
So the concentration of the alcohol is going to make a difference, obviously. And then the type of drink, as I said earlier, if it's carbonated, it's going to hit you more quickly. Bubbles make you get drunk faster, basically, if we're going to be simple. And if your stomach is full or empty, so if you've got lots of food in your tummy, if you've eaten a lot, it's going to absorb more slowly, so the alcohol is going to hit you more slowly. If you've not eaten very much, it's going to hit you much quicker.
Yes. Me right now.
Yes, very good. That's all of us right now. And after absorption, after it's absorbed into your body, the alcohol hits the bloodstream, and then it dissolves in the blood, the water of the blood, because alcohol is water soluble, as we've spoken about before, and it takes the blood takes it all throughout the body. It then dissolves in each tissue of the body except for fat tissue, like we said, because it can't dissolve in fat. The effects of alcohol depend like directly on the blood alcohol content. Mm-hmm. So basically the percentage of your blood that is alcohol, that is like that basically directly determines the effect of alcohol on your body. It's obviously related to how much alcohol you've consumed. That blood alcohol content can just like jump up like a lot within about 20 minutes of you drinking alcohol. And let's just really quickly go on to like some of the other effects of alcohol. Like, for example, alcohol can make you need to pee.
I really need to pee.
Really? I already peed.
Yeah, we had a break for Noah to pee. We don't have a break for me
go
to pee.
Go pee.
I'm back now. That was a very nice wee.
So we've spoken about the absorption of alcohol. After it's absorbed, it goes to the bloodstream in the water flood. I kind of mentioned that already, actually, now I remember.
Yeah.
But once it's in the blood, it then gets in each tissue of the body. I've said this already also. And I've also said that your BAC can resolve... Your blood alcohol content can rise significantly within 20 minutes of having a drink.
It's BAV, isn't it? Blood alcohol volume.
You're thinking of ABV, alcohol by volume. We're talking about BAC, blood alcohol content.
Sorry, my bad.
Do you feel stupid?
No, I don't.
Good, you shouldn't, because being wrong is not a sign of being stupid. Being wrong is a sign that you have an opportunity to learn.
I'm trying.
You have an opportunity to learn, and that's good. Well done. Let's give a round of applause for everyone that's learning. Well done. So, once alcohol is absorbed into your bloodstream, it can leave the body in three ways. Give me one of those three ways, anyone.
Piss, poo, vomit. Sweat.
You guys,
sweat.
You're not wrong, but the kidneys eliminate 5% of the alcohol in the urine.
Right.
The lungs exhale 5% of
the alcohol,
which can be detected by a breathalyzer.
Oh.
And the liver chemically breaks down the remaining alcohol into acetic acid. Now, blood alcohol concentration. I said blood alcohol content earlier because I'm stupid and I can't remember words, but it's
so
blood
silly.
Alcohol concentration. That is about like the concentration, the percentage of your blood that is alcohol. So, for example, let's go through all of the different things that it says happens with different blood alcohol concentrations.
Okay.
Euphoria, apparently, is BAC 0.03 to 0.12%. So when 0.03 to 0.12% of your blood is alcohol, this is what you will likely feel. Let's
what do you think it is right now? If I've had I've had four shots and then maybe two more?
We'll run through it and we'll find out. You can figure
out
how
euphoric?
You feel.
I felt more euphoric before.
Okay. We'll go through the specifics and you can decide then. They may become more self-confident or daring. Their attention span may shorten. Noah, that's you.
Oh dear. I'm already out of lost for that.
They may look flushed, their judgment may not be as sharp, and they may be more impulsive. I'm just reading this from him. Basically, your judgment goes, your fine motor skills might be shot.
I've never been
so,
good with
like
most.
Writing or signing your name might be difficult. And then excitement is BAC 0.09 to 0.25%. That's, you could become sleepy. You could have trouble understanding or remembering things. Even recent things. And you might not react to situations quickly. I think that's roughly where we are right now. Their body movements...
Yeah, you didn't react to that quickly at all.
Whoa, that just happened. Guys, you got to be careful.
That was very quick, actually.
I was actually reacting to Noah's thing earlier. Look! So, your body movements may become uncoordinated. You lose the balance. Vision blurry. I have trouble sensing things, hearing,
spaghetti.
Tasting, feeling, all of the other ones. Confusion. Confusion is at 0.18 to 0.30% BAC. So
do we have a breathalyzer?
You're like not here.
Oh, we
you're
should.
Likely to be confused. You might not know what you're doing or where you are or anything. You could be dizzy and like wobbly on your feet. And this is where your emotions could start to be like heightened. So aggressive and or emotional, withdrawn, overly affectionate, horny, all those things. Not seeing clearly, sleepy, slurred speech, uncoordinated movements. Stupor is 0.25 to 0.4%. That's like basically being unable to do anything. So you can't walk, you can't respond to stimuli, can't stand, you'll probably throw up. Like, you'll pass in and out of consciousness.
I've been there
and
once.
Coma is 0.35 to 0.5%. That's your unconscious, your reflexes. So your pupils might not respond to, like, light normally. Your skin is cold because your body temperature is lowered. Your breathing is slower. Your heart rate's slower. And you could potentially die. Death is 0.5% or more. That's, like, when you stop breathing and you die. But let's lighten the mood, bros.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Wow.
That's me showing you how alcohol works.
That's
but you can't see inside my body or know the chemical reactions, so that's useless.
That's
not. So I'll use my brain to make my mouth make words for you to understand.
Thank you so much.
I know exactly where I am.
That's so true.
Where are you?
I am in the upstairs, in the loft upstairs for Sci Guys.
It's the Sci Guys studio you are in.
I mean, there's also a bed and guitar.
So, alcohol works. It mostly works on the nerve cells in your brain. It stops them communicating all good with other parts, the other cells. So apparently, alcohol enhances the effects of the neurotransmitter GABA or GABA. Good job.
GABA.
And it makes it's That's an inhibitory transmitter.
Yeah.
So what's happening is if you enhance an inhibitory transmitter, it makes you probably more, because it's inhibitory.
Yeah.
It makes you more sluggish and slow and stupid, and basically makes what you see in a drunk person when they're drunk.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you enhance an inhibitory transmitter.
But you also lose your inhibitions. So,
whoa, bro.
You don't know anything about his inhibitions.
Yeah, no, because, so we'll get into that in a little, can get into that in a little bit. So alcohol also dampens the effect of an excitatory neurotransmitter. And that also produces sluggishness. And so essentially,
so slug right now.
How much alcohol do you have to drink to become a slug?
I think a million alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
a million alcohol and
much.
You become a literal
way
slug.
That's very expensive.
It's too much. Don't do it. It's very dangerous. It's very because if you don't drink the exact right amount, you won't become a slug. You'll become dead.
What about a snail?
You can't become a snail. Don't be stupid.
No, don't be stupid.
Do you know science?
So you can be a slug, but you can't be a slug with a home. You have to be a homeless slug.
Yes, whoa, slugs have homes. Their home is the world, you fool.
Yeah. You fool.
So,
sorry about that.
I didn't
alcohol
we
affects like
fool.
Alcohol affects a lot of different parts of your brain. The higher parts of your brain, the lower parts of your brain. Look, what does it mean when I say higher parts and lower parts?
So the higher parts would be something like your prefrontal cortex.
That's the frontal parts.
Yeah, your frontal lobe is to do with like what we would maybe consider higher thinking, and your lower part is like at the lowy part. It's like your heartbeat and your breathing and stuff like that.
It's stuff you don't even think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your higher stuff is like probably the stuff you do think about. Your lower stuff is the stuff you don't really think about, like your heartbeat. But hopefully you don't drink so much that your heartbeat doesn't do the thing. But sometimes you do. And hopefully you don't.
I mean, if you do, you probably don't listen to this because you're probably dead, but it's okay.
That's really sad.
Hey.
Yeah, very sad.
You don't welcome dead people here?
I welcome all people to Side Guys, except for left-handeds, but I have rescinded my negative view of the left-handeds. I've rescinded my negative view of the left-handed. And do you know what? I raise my left hand in solidarity with all those who are afflicted with left-handedness, and I support you.
Anyone left-handed, all you had to do was get him quite drunk for him to support you.
I decided I would support them many months ago when someone got very upset.
Were you drunk?
So, this is the order in which alcohol apparently affects the various parts of your brain. Where I got this is in the description. I can't remember. It says cerebral cortex, limbic system, cerebellum, hypothalamus, and pituitary gland, and medulla, which is your brainstem. Fun fact, the pituitary gland, I only know what it is because of the Artemis Fowl books, wherein a fairy got a pituitary gland inserted into her so that she could grow big, because the pituitary gland helps you grow.
Yes, growth hormones.
Well done. Good job. We're moving very quickly. So, moving so fast. So, it affects all those. It depresses the behavioral inhibitory centers, so you're talkative, you're self-confident, you're less socially inhibited. So that's how alcohol makes you lose your inhibitions, because it depresses the effect of your behavioral inhibitory centers. So all the parts of your brain that are like, hey,
don't do that,
hey, don't do that, it's embarrassing, don't do that.
You have parts of your brain that tell you not to do things.
Of course. Of course,
no,
you used to be a gorilla, you stupid monkey. You used to be a cat.
You've got lots of things going on there. Monkey.
Luke doesn't quite understand evolution yet, but we're getting there.
You used to be a lizard. You got a lizard bit of your brain, and your lizard brain is like, blah!
Blah.
And you've got to get another bit of your brain that goes, nah.
Exactly. So there's parts of your brain that are like, hey, don't do that at all. No, that's a bad idea. And what alcohol does is says, shut up to those parts. It says shut up.
No, it doesn't do that. It just doesn't let the don't do that signal through.
Yeah, by telling them to shut up.
No.
At the signal station.
No.
It says, for me.
The signals, like, it's trying to send the signal, and the alcohol is like, no.
Yeah, so like if I was to, if Noah was about to say, hey, don't do that, and I cover his mouth.
Oh no!
That's not me saying do it. That's just me covering his mouth.
Saying you don't
There's
do
a
it,
difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
No, I'm saying the alcohol tells the parts.
Bite
of,
your hand.
Look, the alcohol tells the parts of your the alcohol tells the parts of your brain that tell you not to do stuff to shut up.
Yeah.
By making them shut up. Maybe it uses chloroform.
But, yeah.
Maybe it uses a hand. Maybe it uses a bag full of doorknobs. We don't quite
all
know.
I'm saying
what
is
about a butt?
Are you saying you understand the brain, Luke?
I'm saying there's a difference.
Are you saying you understand the human brain?
I'm saying there's a difference between telling someone to shut up and making them shut up.
So alcohol depresses a bunch of different parts of your brain and it makes them not work so good. So the limbic system, it's got the hippocampus and the septal area that controls emotions and memory. Alcohol affects that. It basically makes it your emotions more exaggerated, so you could be more
angry.
Yeah, you could be more angry, you could be more aggressive, you could lose memory, you could be more horny, you could be more happy. Alcohol does that's why when you're really drunk, the trope is like, I love you, man, and it's like, because I say I love you, man, because I'm drunk. Because alcohol can make you feel emotions more.
But what if I do love them when I'm not drunk anyway?
But that's because if like it reduces your inhibitory processes.
To say it.
Say it anyway.
So alcohol can make it easier for you to say things, but also it can enhance your feelings of things. So when people say like, oh, alcohol makes you tell the truth, I don't think that's necessarily true, because while alcohol, yes, can reduce your inhibitions, it can also increase the emotions, the intensity of emotions that you feel. And so, like, I don't think it's fair to say that someone that is really drunk is telling you their true emotions, because, like, they're feeling their emotions way harder.
God, you're so interesting.
Maybe we'll do another episode on this where we're not drunk, where I can explain this more better. And alcohol can affect lots of different parts of your body. It can affect your cerebellum. Your cerebellum is, like, not quite... It's not the lowest part of your brain, but it's one of the lower parts.
Listen.
So the lowest part, no. So cerebellum, when alcohol affects that, it means that you're less coordinated, your fine muscle movements are badder, and that's where you start to become more falling down drunk, when your cerebellum is affected. So as I've said, that your alcohol can go through lots of different things. So it affects your senses, so your thought processing and your consciousness and stuff, it starts to affect that. And then it affects like the behavioral inhibitory centers, where it makes you lose your inhibitions.
The behavioral what?
Behavioral.
I did not quite catch that.
Your behavioral inhibitory centers,
yeah,
where
great.
It makes you lose your inhibitions, so you're more able to, you care less about what you do and what people think about you. So you make bad judgments, maybe. And that gets bigger as your BAC goes up. And then your limbic system's affected.
My brain gets bigger on alcohol?
Your brain's dumb. Then your limbic system gets affected, and that means that
is your limbs?
Your limbic system controls emotions and memory. That's where you start getting blackouts, you start feeling emotions more strongly. And then it goes to your cerebellum, that affects your like fine motor movements and stuff. And that like that's why you get all jerky and bad at doing stuff when you're really drunk.
Jerky.
Apparently, you could normally touch your finger to your nose in one smooth motion with your eyes closed. If your cerebellum wasn't functioning, the motion would be extremely shaky or jerky. So everyone, hand out to your right, eyes closed, touch your nose.
Look,
you're so drunk. You're so drunk.
See, I thought I was Noah.
So you lose balance more as your cerebellum is affected. Your hypothalamus controls influences and autonomic functions. So like that's through the medulla, which is the lower part of your brain beyond the cerebellum. So that's like nerve impulses and stuff. And when alcohol starts to hit that's when you start to get. That's when it starts to affect sexual arousal and performance. And when the BAC increases, your blood alcohol content increases, sexual behavior increases, but sexual performance declines. So you get hornier, but you get worse at
you
doing
don't know
sex.
That's you don't
like
know
a
that.
Greek tragedy.
I know. So it's
you
like if you get way more drunk, you're like way more horny, but also your body is like, I don't know what to do in sex. I can't do it
that's
good.
So sad.
So as I said, as your blood alcohol content increases, your sexual behavior increases, but your sexual performance goes down. So, I mean, there's lots of other things. So antidiuretic hormone, the pituitary gland secretion of that, it changes. It basically, alcohol inhibits pituitary secretion of antidiuretic hormone, ADH. So antidiuretic hormone makes a kidney reabsorb water. So if you inhibit antidiuretic hormone,
yep,
it makes your kidney like absorb less water, which means that you need to pee more.
Yeah.
So that's one reason you need to pee more with alcohol.
I feel that.
And it also can affect upper parts of your medulla, and then it makes you feel sleepy and then makes you unconscious. So that's why people can pass out when they're drunk. And also, if it gets high enough to hit your, like, I think it's autonomic nervous system, so your breathing and your heart rate and stuff and your temperature, you will basically stop breathing altogether and just die. That's when, like, you drink too much alcohol that it's fatal.
Yeah.
But also, alcohol can affect other bodily functions, it says. It says that the lining of the stomach and the intestine, you can hit that, so it can affect that real bad, so that's why you could vomit sometimes. And also, like, that's why you shouldn't drink alcohol and also have ibuprofen, because ibuprofen affects your stomach lining.
Yeah.
And alcohol is also, like, affects your stomach lining, and it can be really bad. So don't have ibuprofen if you're drunk. It also, alcohol increases your blood flow to the skin. That makes you look flushed and sweaty.
Do I look flushed?
You don't look flushed. You're okay. And
a little bit flushed.
It also makes your muscles, it has less blood flow to your muscles, which is like when you're, like, which is why you get muscle aches when you're hungover.
That's why they look so pathetic.
And all of the effects of alcohol continue happening until the alcohol is eliminated by your body, which also is another reason for hangovers existing.
Now I'm drunk, they'll look pathetic.
That's how alcohol works. Let's just quickly talk about, like, the discovery of alcohol. Why do you think we drink alcohol? Beyond just it getting us drunk. Because alcohol is a poison.
So, there was a period of time when there wasn't a... like, post-civilization existing, there was a period of time where we didn't have a consistent... that's the sound of Corey pouring us more alcohol. We didn't have, like, a consistent source of safe water supply. And so we would drink beer as, like, our like, drinking water.
What?
Yeah, like, there's this period of time where, like, we didn't have safe drinking water, and so people would just drink beer as their way of hydrating. No,
you'd be so dehydrated.
No, so Lucas right. No, but actually, you're not going back far enough.
Yes.
So I love this. You're so spot on. So let me go back to way far ago, like 10 million years ago. There was a change in our genes. Apparently, there was some studies on this. Right, there was some change in our genes that made us able to digest alcohol better.
Those biker ones. The biker ones were bad.
What?
The biker jeans.
What are you on about?
You know the biker jeans that have too much texture? You
they
know
look
the
like ones denim?
With the lines that... No, denim is fine. You know the biker ones with, like, the lines on the knees? And how they're really out of style now.
Those are still denim.
Yeah, I'm saying they're jeans.
What are you talking about?
What has denim got to do with it?
Back to us drinking beer as water.
So 10 million years ago, we developed, roughly about that time, we developed the ability to break down alcohol, ethanol, so good, to make energy. So this is why we talk about a beer belly. And the beer belly makes sense because alcohol, you don't just, like, drink and it makes you drunk. You break it down into energy, right?
Yeah, it's a great source of energy.
Exactly. And so think about this. Fermentation, what is that?
Oh, so there's fruit that's, like, slightly fermented, right? And we still want to be able to eat it. We don't want to waste that fruit. And so we were able to use that alcohol, because fruit, when you leave it for too long, it rots, it ferments, it turns into alcohol in part. And so when you eat it, that's still good. You can still use it as calories. Fantastic news.
Exactly.
You also get a little bit drunk. That's a bonus.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Like, elephants will drink some alcohol and get drunk. The way that humans, essentially, like, the things about 10 million years ago, we started to be able to digest ethanol real good. And that's really positive for us because, like, think about it this way, right? Like, if you find some fruit on the ground and it's kind of rotting.
Only a little bit.
Only a little bit. If it's got a smell, it's like, it's a bit boozy.
Eat it.
If you eat it and eat you it. Can't digest ethanol so good, you're getting way less out of that fruit. But if you can digest ethanol real good, then you get like energy out of it. Because, like, bear in mind, when you drink alcohol, you get energy from it.
But I would assume in those days, almost like in the same way that when we, evolved to crave sugar and so we found bushes that had fruit on, we didn't have enough fruit that we would then get, like, fat, as we have now from refined sugar. We didn't get drunk from the fermented fruit that we were eating, or not drunk, not very drunk to the point where it would impair us.
Not in the way that we now
get drunk with extremely dehydrated, extremely fermented alcohol like whiskey.
Well, okay, put it this way. You don't get so drunk as to negatively impact you to the point where you're like, I can't eat this anymore.
Making mistakes, more likely to get killed by a predator, but maybe enough drunk that you maybe like make some more babies.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is what's really cool, I think, about alcohol, in that like it's been around like forever. And this is why we spoke about this in, I think, the vaping episode, where I said that like I hate nicotine.
Yeah.
And alcohol is like maybe one of my like second most hated drugs. And I would say like, oh yeah, we should ban alcohol, if it were not for the fact that like you can accidentally make alcohol as a baby little child.
It's like impossible
in a boarding
to make
school
illegal
with a bunch of girls who's scared of his house mistress finding out that his apple juice has turned into alcohol.
I was slightly worried.
We discovered alcohol like 10 million years ago, and the really cool thing about that is that like when we were able to digest it, that meant that we could digest like rotting fruit, which is so cool because it means, oh, here's another, like, you know, like access to energy. Exactly. So the ability to break down alcohol probably made it good for our human ancestors to make use of like fruit that wasn't being used otherwise. Fun thing, it also got us a little bit drunk, and we then figured out that actually if we leave grapes or grain and shit to like just on its own, they'll just make us drunk again.
There was a period of time where the world was like Minecraft, where you just get grape, leave it there, turns into drunk grape.
Awesome. I love that stuff. Whereas now we understand how it works, which is so cool because we can make it work for us so good. But back then, it was just this evolutionary advantage. And so that is the...
Corey spilled the glass.
I didn't. I actually finished drinking the glass before I knocked it off the table. Not yet. So that is the science of alcohol and being drunk. And the one last thing we have to do is the quick fire quiz.
Dun 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 dun.
Dun 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 dun.
Alcohol edition.
So the rules for the quick fire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer before I finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
They win the rest of Corey's very expensive whiskey.
Woo!
No.
Why not?
Because Gary gave that to me and I like him.
Gary is my dad. I feel Gary loves me the most. This.
Thanks, Gary, for the alcohol.
So, Luke, what is your buzzer?
Gary.
Noah, what is your buzzer?
Ah!
And my question for you both is... what is the name for the alcohol that we most commonly drink?
Gary!
Ah!
Noah, what is your answer?
Ethanol.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct. Well done!
Do I win a pee?
You win a pee in just a short period.
Oh, I need a pee.
Happy New Year to everyone listening. It is the 1st of January 2023. Congrats to all of us for making it. Well done, little round of applause. Well, that is all from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons. A very special thank you to Exet, Research, Danito, and Glitch Rabbit. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And want to leave us a nice free review. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/SciGuys. Or you can find a contact us at SciGuys1 at Patreon.
At Patreon.
Hi, Patreon.
You're just yelling. SciGuys Boss!
At gmail.com. Come.
YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube,
okay,
Facebook,
we're,
Instagram.
We're too far gone for this.
TikTok. SciGuysPodGitMing.com. Goodbye. I'm not Corey everywhere.
Goodbye.
No offense.
Why are you guys looking to the camera? This is done.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.